It's most noticeable when I'm on a road trip and pull into a small Missouri or Kansas town. There's the sign, "Welcome to Abilene, sister city to Omatama, Japan. Welcome to St. Charles, sister city to Ludwigsburg, Germany." It never fails to arouse my curiosity. What is this faraway place, and what is the relationship to this city I find myself driving through? What's the history behind the sister city concept, and why does it exist in 2013? I'm Bill Anderson. This is Central Standard. Kansas City, Missouri has no less than 13 sister cities. Kansas City, Kansas has 4. Chances are, if you live in an urban area, your community has a sister city relationship. Sister cities, the boards that foster the relationships, the history behind the program, and what relevance it has to you and me. First, the news. Good morning and welcome to a fundraising edition of Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Bill Anderson. Let's just put it out there. Are American communities better off because of a sister city relationship with a town or city several thousand miles away? How about you as an individual? What's in the sister city program for you? Our guest today is Mike Wood. Mike is a board member with the Sister City Association of Kansas City. He's also served the organization as president, and he's served at the international level as well. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
It's great to have you here. So let's start here. Just because our community has a sister city relationship with a city somewhere in Germany, Japan, Mexico, the Ukraine, you know, what's in it for the average citizen?
Yeah, I think that's a natural question. We tend as human beings to say, you know, what's in it for us and what do we look at? I think that President Eisenhower, many, many years ago, and our own Joyce Hall in Kansas City, were looking at a little broader picture. They started this organization called People to People International, and it was based on citizen diplomacy. Mm-hmm. Part of that was municipal diplomacy, sister cities. People to People headquarters stayed here in Kansas City, but sister cities broke off and moved to Washington. And Joyce Hall and Dwight Eisenhower said, having been through World War II, that we need an organization that gets people involved, encouraging mutual respect, understanding, cooperation, and would you believe, world peace.
Yeah, so this was some 60 years ago.
Indeed. Yeah. And so we do look at self-interest, and we'll talk about that. But I think their mission, Eisenhower, you'll recall, had been through the most horrible war in history, and peace was on his mind, and mm-hmm. his friend Joyce Hall, and he got this organization together. But it's only natural to ask, how does it benefit us?
Yeah.
And it does. It adds tremendously to the cultural life and the business life of a given city.
Okay.
There are some 500 cities in the U.S. who have 1,500 connections around the world in 140 countries. So while we have a big program in Kansas City, it's much bigger than just us.
Yeah, there are some 13 sister city relationships with Kansas City, Missouri alone.
Yeah, indeed.
And, of course,
the area
surprised me, Mike.
Prairie Village has a city in Ukraine, and Leavenworth has one in Australia and different places.
Yeah. I believe Lawrence has 3.
Sure.
Yeah. Kansas City, Kansas, 4.
Usually what a sister city relationship is built on a constituency that you might have, Latino constituency, Mexicans, or a group of French speakers or something, people interested in mm-hmm. France. And some other similarity in size. It could be a university. It could be a museum. Something that builds the natural affinity between the two. And Kansas City, as you might expect, is a fairly prominent city, even in the United States. And so it seeks some relationships abroad and with some surprising cities.
I have to ask you, did Joyce Hall and President Eisenhower have a relationship prior to establishing the program?
Yes, indeed. I'm certain, I don't know this, that Joyce Hall was a big supporter of Eisenhower, but they were indeed personal friends and he came here frequently. And as you probably know, Mary Jean Eisenhower, the president's granddaughter, lives here in Kansas City and has recently stepped down as CEO of the International People to People headquarters here mm-hmm. in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite a Kansas City connection of which we should be very proud. The city itself is quite an international city, and people may not believe that, but think of the things, the cultural things that happen in Kansas City, so many cultural events, international cultural events. The sister cities are knee-deep in those.
Uh-huh. Now, originally, however, though, the emphasis was, and you correct me if I'm mistaken.
Sure.
You know, in a world torn by, you know, disagreement over boundaries and political beliefs, even religion, we had tyranny and all sorts of disputes, and which led up to World War II. And then this post-World War II environment, wasn't the emphasis placed on promoting peace?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. As I said, Eisenhower had seen the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
And having seen that, he could bear testimony to the importance of peace. And so he and Joyce Hall did this. But the buzzword that we take away from it is typically citizen diplomacy.
Yeah.
It's
Explain
individuals.
That.
You know, it's not the guys in the, top hats and, you know, tuxedos and stuff walking around. It's individual, you and me, hosting mm-hmm. people at home or going abroad and meeting people. Our first sister city was in Seville, Spain. Started in 1967, and it may surprise a lot of people that one of the main drags in Sevilla, Spain, is Avenida Kansas City.
Hmm.
One of the main streets is named after Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Yeah, but that's, you know, a minor impact, I suppose. But
And then at what point did we kind of shift, not necessarily shift the emphasis from peace, but we also started talking about trade and education and cultural experiences and even humanitarian aid. When did that become part and parcel to the sister cities concept?
I think you're right. As I said at the beginning, it's really only natural. At some point you look at self-interest, you know. Peace, world peace is touchy-feely sort of stuff, but really, how does that benefit us or our community or our tax money or mm-hmm. anything else? And so you look at community improvement in the neighborhood, cultural improvements. And finally, to get it to pay off, we look for maybe business or commerce relationships mm-hmm. Or educational relationships. Can you imagine a university without some international connections where young people can have their horizons broadened? Well, oftentimes it's our sister cities, and we'll talk about specific ones, mm-hmm. our sister cities that have those relationships that open the doors that make students welcome over there, wherever there is, or over here.
You're talking about trade. I hear on NPR's Morning Edition today that the president is leaving for Asia on Saturday to talk about relationships and to encourage and promote trade between the U.S. and some of the Asian countries. Does he sort of set the table for sister cities when he goes and when a president goes and has these kind of meetings, high-level meetings?
I'm sure he doesn't know it's in his portfolio, but you can be sure it is. Frankly, because a lot of the programs are sanctioned by the State Department. There's little or no federal money in the program. Occasionally, Sister Cities International will have some interesting programs to aid developing countries. But I want to emphasize, this is very much a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
We benefit from the relationships just as much as the other countries do. So it's not a donor-receiver relationship at all. It's at a very high level, learning from others on both directions.
I brought up the president, if only because it seems as if every president since Eisenhower has really put support behind this program.
And Hillary Clinton, particularly in years during the Clinton administration, would speak forcefully on that. So the president has it in his kit bag, even if he doesn't know he does, you know.
Well, we're talking about the Sister Cities program that was started in post-World War II America by President Dwight Eisenhower, and it has a very direct connection to Kansas City. That's exciting to learn. It's a vehicle to promote peace between U.S. communities and cities and other countries. Our conversation on KCUR Central Standard is going to continue shortly. Welcome back to Central Standard on KCUR. I'm Bill Anderson with Mike Wood, past president of Kansas City's Sister City Association and a current board member. Mike and I are talking about the Sister Cities program, which was created by President Eisenhower with a little help from Joyce Hall of Kansas City, and that was just about six decades ago. Its goal, to promote peace and cultural understanding. It has economic, educational, and humanitarian aid benefits as well. Now, Mike, so what kind of infrastructure is needed? What kind of infrastructure is in place to kind of initiate, facilitate, and manage these sister city relationships?
That's a good question, Bill. You know, this is not just some whimsical thing. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a sister city in Italy or something? It usually starts with a constituency in a community here or a community there. The Sister Cities International maintains a directory of current sister city relationships and cities looking for relationships. And so we have a constituency. We look for a city of similar size, as I mentioned, or a museum or a university that's compatible. And then it goes, the committee petitions the city officially to the city council to approve such a relationship, and the two mayors, either virtually or in person, sign letters of agreement, okay, cooperating. Mm-hmm. So it is an official city function. In Kansas City, for example, where we have a bunch, and we'll talk about some of them specifically, we have an association of these, and we call them committees. And there's a committee for Kurashiki, Japan, and Xi'an, China, and so forth. And this association then, and each individual city, is an authorized city official function.
Okay.
Everybody's volunteers, though, and that brings in some interesting. In some cities, they'll have even an office at City Hall or something like that to maintain those, because the city sees some pretty important value in the relationships.
Speaking to these agreements, mm-hmm, I mean, are these loaded with a lot of whereas and therefores and specific obligations by the communities that are engaging in this relationship?
Oh, I think they're fairly general in nature.
Okay.
Whereas world peace is a good idea, and whereas the people in Kansas City are really nice, and uh-huh, you know, that sort of thing. But the fact that two elected officials, generally elected, see fit to go to the trouble of signing it gives it some imprimatur, which is important, I think.
Yeah, but I'm going to play devil's advocate.
Please.
You know, if it's not in print, and I'll tell you, mm-hmm, I'm a living example of this. If it's not written down and I don't have deadlines, probably isn't going to happen. And if this is kind of a loose agreement, others that would just, you know, fail.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean. And it's funny, you see it in a lot of nonprofits generally, or even for-profit companies. It depends on a spark plug, some individual who's a real pusher, or some group of people on one side or the other who see tremendous value in it, whether it be a cultural exchange or a business development or something like that. So I think city relationships will grow or wane depending, on a lot, oftentimes individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And what may seem like a good idea at one time may diminish and then come back 2 years later stronger than ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's an example? What's a really healthy sister city relationship in Kansas City right now? What would you say is the strongest one?
Well, I couldn't rank them, but there are certainly some very strong ones.
Is this citizen diplomacy
right now,
Mike?
What we're doing?
Yeah.
No, because you're an American. I'm an American. I'm just trying to be nice to you, you know. But I think that perhaps is at the root of citizen diplomacy, people treating each other like they like to be treated. But let's talk about perhaps our first sister city, which in 1967 was founded in Seville, Spain, Sevilla, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor Ike Davis accompanied a delegation to the World's Fair,
mm-hmm,
in Sevilla, Spain in 1967, and hence Avenida Kansas City, the street there. But ever since, we've had a very strong relationship there. Sevilla is a similar city in size to the U.S. It has a couple of major industries like Airbus, but they've had programs over the years that are just wonderful. They've had wine tastings, which particularly appeal to me. And also,
so I've heard.
Yes, indeed. But Spanish language movie films for a lot of Spanish speakers in the area. They train foreign language teachers in Spanish, and have writing contests. They have tours of the museum Nelson in Spanish. Wonderful things. Scholarships for students at UMKC and other institutions who are studying Spanish. This has direct impact on the educational qualities here. And I dare say if you go to Sevilla in some official capacity, you'll be very well received, because they are very much aware of the relationship.
Speaking of Seville, talk a little bit about, if you can, the economic benefits that Kansas City derives from that relationship.
Well, that's sure. And economic benefits. There was a trip last summer, for example, to Taiwan, led by a couple of business people from Kansas City, well-known Benny Lee and several others, looking at investment opportunities there and enticing companies to move here. But something that's pretty interesting, part of the whole mosaic of Kansas City as an international city is not just sister cities, but it's the International Relations Council, it's the United Nations Associations, it's people-to-people, and the International Trade Council. And all of that makes a picture of Kansas City as a wonderfully international city. So a couple of years ago, we had a wonderful global business exchange program, a worldwide program here in Kansas City called Futuralia, where small businesses were able to meet hundreds and hundreds of other people from around the world in business. And on the strength of that, we are arranging and working with our sister city in Guadalajara, Mexico, to conduct a similar program.
Mm-hmm.
And business is the name of the game. It's trade. The city has to put a little money to this program, so they have got to justify a little payoff.
Right.
And they get it.
You know, this summer it was announced that Sister Cities International is part of an effort to improve and build relationships between the U.S. and China. Can you speak to that at all as it relates to the heartland?
Sure. Our sister city in China is the sixth largest city in China, Xi'an.
Mm-hmm.
And Xi'an is a marvelous city, notable for its terracotta warriors, which you may see around Kansas City. And we can talk about that as time permits.
Yeah.
But it's been a wonderful relationship. The terracotta warriors are these warriors who were found, dug up, had been buried for 1,000 years or more.
Mm-hmm.
And we see them on the plaza and at the Kansas City Public Library and different places. They were donated here. The relationship goes on and on.
This is Central Standard on 89.3 FM. I'm Bill Anderson with Mike Wood, a member of the Board of Directors for the Sister City Association of Kansas City. Mike, at the end of our last segment, we were talking about Xi'an, China. So why don't you tell us more about that? I had to cut you short.
Yeah, Bill. You know, Xi'an, China is, as I said earlier, a major city in China with strong historical significance, a very large city, and it's a real feather in our cap to have a relationship. You can't mention Xi'an, China, and our relationship without talking about a remarkable Kansas Cityan named Bob Chen. Bob has been pushing this. We established a relationship in 1989, and it's resulted in numerous exchanges. It's resulted in the terracotta warrior statues I mentioned on the plaza by the Sister Cities International Bridge across Brush Creek. There's a beautiful statue of two young children reaching for a dove, a peace statue at Vivian and North Oak.
I've seen it. It's beautiful.
A gift of Xi'an to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
A measure of this guy's commitment and why the city relationship is so strong is he wanted to donate one time through the committee, the Xi'an Sister City Committee, two wheelchairs to China. Well, just like you or me, he called up Hillary Clinton, you know, and said, would you do it? So she had Bill Clinton deliver them personally following his presidency. But it's that sort of thing. And in fact, because of this relationship, Bob Chen is going to be honored as the World Citizen of the Year by the United Nations Association of Greater Kansas City. The mayor gives the award to an outstanding internationalist such as Bob Chen. And to be, if you'll forgive, a shameless plug, tickets are available for the event on the 23rd of October by going to the website at una-kc.org.
Mike, I have to say, your passion is palpable. You're really enthusiastic about this program. I can only assume that somehow this has, I guess this might be a bit of a digression, but it has had to have had an effect on your life. Can you talk about that?
Well, yeah, and I hope a lot of lives. Kansas City has assumed in the past 40 years or so a rightful place on the world stage. I can remember years ago, and you probably can too, when we were known as a trucking capital or a farming capital. God bless Harvest Public Media, of course, and Halt greeting cards. But now it's so much more than that, with companies like Cerner and Garmin and Sprint, all of whom have wonderful overseas presence. So we're quite an international city. And another city that has taken advantage of it, of that international position, is Kurashiki, Japan, one of our very strong cities, similar size to Kansas City, a little bit smaller. But for years, there have been exchanges between high school students and others. The people of Kurashiki donated cherry trees to Luce Park. They donated a tea room in Luce Park and the building there. The relationship has worked both ways, as we've sent students to study Japanese in Japan. And there are a dozen, 13 cities that have similar relationships, some stronger than others, and we can talk about several of them.
Yeah. You know, you need strong leadership for these things to succeed. What other kind of components are necessary for these sister city relationships to thrive? And then I have a follow-up question.
Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of them, for example, you take Morelia, which is one of our very – Morelia, Michoacan, Mexico.
Yes.
Is one of our very strongest now. They have, for example, a language – Spanish language program and Mexican culture program for the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. And over the past few years, 125 officers have gone through – Spanish language training, cultural sensitivity, and so forth, sponsored by this relationship with Morelia. So it takes a group of interested citizens to do that. Through that relationship, the Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department donated 2 fire trucks to Morelia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we both benefit. They benefited from a fire truck, and we benefit from officers, police officers, who are well-trained in language and culture and dealing with a growing Latino population.
Mm-hmm.
We are well-served by that.
Is there an ongoing method for measuring the success or lack of success within the program?
I suppose there is in the individual activities that go on. The Sister City Association is merely a forum for the cities to get together and share programs and say what's going on. I mentioned the program at the United Nations Association for Bob Chen.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, all of the cities from different continents were delighted to hear that Bob was going to be honored on the 23rd of October. So I guess you measure it that way. There certainly isn't one single coup that you're looking for.
Yeah.
One thing we do need and require is a modest membership contribution from the municipal government, City Hall, to subsidize, and it's about $1,000 a year, membership for the international organization. And that allows the publishing of directories and gives us some legitimacy nationally and internationally. 500 cities around the country do it, so It's something we ought to be doing and do.
Have you seen one of these relationships come unraveled? Sisters will argue and will fight. And have you ever been embroiled in a controversy of any sort with one of our sister cities, Mike?
Well, we had a shootout with the mayor. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But I'll give you an example. I talked about spark plugs. It takes an individual. A wonderful city in part of France is Metz, which has been a sister city of Kansas City for some time. It's an engineering town like Kansas City, has a university, similar size, museum. But they had a change in mayor. And so their mayor perhaps was not so enthusiastic, and we're waiting for a new administration because in Kansas City we have a wonderful French constituency, French speakers, people like French wine, whatever it happens to be. So we're just waiting.
It's the second time you've brought up wine, by the way.
I got to break my habit. But there is a constituency here ready to do it, and all it might take would be a new administration in this wonderful city of Metz.
Many U.S. cities are changing in ethnicity and race. Some are moving from industrial to service industries. Some are previously flourishing cities that have fallen on hard times. How does that kind of play into the relationship? Do the relationships change over time?
I suppose so. We have a growing Latino population, and we have 3 cities in Mexico. Kind of odd to have 3 cities in one country, Morelia being the strongest. Sort of moribund is San Nicolas de los Garza, but a wonderful city of Guadalajara should be resuscitated. Mayor Barnes had led a wonderful delegation down there years ago.
Glad to have you listening to Central Standard on KCUR. Mike Wood is going to stay with us as we talk about sister cities. We're back. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Bill Anderson talking to Mike Wood. Mike's a board member with the Sister City Association of Kansas City. I should note also, Mike is a longtime volunteer at KCUR and a member in excellent standing. So thanks for your contributions, Mike.
Oh, it's certainly a worthwhile contribution, I'll tell you that.
In fact, you were working the phones this morning before you came on the air.
Yes.
Wow.
I hope some of my friends will call in right now.
I hope so. So, you know, as I drive home to Lawrence, Kansas this evening, and I come into the city limit, I see the city limit sign, and then there's a mention of our sister cities, and we have three. What do you want me to think about when I see those signs? And this could apply to any sister city. It could
sure.
be Kansas City, Kansas. It could be Kansas City, Missouri. It could be Lenexa, for that matter.
I think it's worthwhile to step back and take a look at the big picture. Lawrence is participating in a program that's bigger than itself. Prairie Village, Leavenworth, and certainly Kansas City. And give you an example of some of the meaningful things that can be done. You know, talking about world peace, yeah, isn't that nice, wonderful, who cares?
Woo-hoo.
Well, it's wonderful. But listen to this. Our sister city in Israel is named Ramla. Mm-hmm. And Ramla had a project some years back called Let the Children Play. And for a year or more, they gathered toys contributed by Kansas City companies and so forth, and we stood around and filled boxes and boxes full of toys to send to both Ramla and right across the Gaza border to Sderot, Gaza, toys. And they were permitted to enter the country. It took some amazing diplomacy to get toys delivered without political influence to both cities. And everybody knows the difficulties historically that Palestinians and Israelis have had. But this was something a small sister city in Kansas City did with a small city in Kansas City, and it pays off.
That's profound. So what kind of response did you get? What did you hear back after that experience?
Interestingly enough, the current president of Sister City Association is Sam Nakum, who's a wonderful Kansas Cityan, originally from Israel many, many years ago. But he's had wonderful feedback, and it got Arabs and Israelis here in Kansas City to work together to do this project. So world peace is indeed achievable through programs like this. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a couple of others, though.
Feel free, Mike.
In another way, another context, contribute. Hanover, Germany is a wonderful example. They have had a very close relationship with the jazz program at the UMKC Conservatory of Music and Dance. Bobby Watson, our own Bobby Watson, has toured in Hanover and Karashki, our other sister city. But a large dance jazz band, famous in Germany, came from Leipzig here, master classes back and forth. And this is the kind of thing that permits UMKC to recruit students from around the world. We have so many cities that have something to offer. A major city in Taiwan is a sister city of Kansas City. Tainan is their third largest city. Israel, we mentioned, there's Hanover and Metz in Germany, Sevilla in Spain, but also three in Africa. Arusha, Tanzania, is a famous city for people who have gone on safari in Tanzania. It's the start-off point for tours to Serengeti and Ngorongoro Gorge and stuff. It's just a wonderful city. I could go on. Freetown, Sierra Leone is a terrific city. Sierra Leone has had, you talked about what makes a strong city and a not-so-strong city. Sierra Leone, a lot of people know, went through a terrible civil war. And recovering now, we expect that city to grow back. And then Port Harcourt, Nigeria, is a big oil town. And that relationship has been very strong in the past. We expect it to come back.
So the Sister Cities program, just to kind of summarize this hour, we're talking about peace, we're talking about trade, goodwill, humanitarian aid, and education. What do you think it will look like, say, 10, 15 years from now? Will it still be the same kind of program with the same emphasis?
Oh, I think it probably will. I think the idea is pretty strong. We're not really looking for other sister cities. We have a lot on our plate, but the obvious hole is something in South America. We don't have one in Brazil. It might be nice to do that, and I think Silvia Maria Gross might appreciate that with a Brazilian background. But I think the visibility will probably improve. You can watch for us at Sister City Day in the spring on the plaza when we have discussions about it. Bob Chen and his dragon boat races on the plaza is a wonderful thing to see, and I expect those will continue long into the future.
Mike Wood, what would you like to leave us with this morning?
I'd like to impress on people and you the international nature of Kansas City, which we often aren't, I won't say given credit for, but people don't often realize. But sister cities and other organizations contribute to making this a livable city. They also contribute in many ways often to having jobs, creating international business opportunities for people here and people abroad.
This is Central Standard on KCUR. Our guest this hour has been Mike Wood. Well done, Mike. Nice to have you here this morning.
Excellent, Bill. Thank you so much.